All right, we have Jody online. There's now 5 board members here at 8 o'clock. I'd like to welcome everybody out here to this DSRA board meeting. This beautiful snowy morning. We have a volunteer who would like to offer us an opening prayer. Hello. Ben Will. Thank you.
Our Father above, we ask Thee this day to attend us as we meet as the board and members of Deer St. Grange Owner Association and discuss the matters and business to operate and move forward this organization and this project. We ask for a blessing for those that may be traveling or who have traveled for this meeting, that they may return home in safety, and that there's time and sacrifice for being here will not be detrimental toward them. We request that we may have sound judgment and go through our business and make decisions that will be the most beneficial in the long-lasting way. We're grateful for our blessing, the opportunity to be involved in this project. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. All right. If we could, for Brett. We'll go around the room, take a roll call. I'll start with me, Mark. Go to the right, Ben.
Ben Clarkson.
Ryan Udensky.
Dale.
Christian Church.
Bob Allen.
Larry Baer.
Kevin Jose.
Joe Jose.
Matt Palmer.
Lynn Dalton.
All right, thank you. And online, we have Vance and we have Jody.
Joni actually just dropped
off
for some
reason. Maybe some technical difficulties. We'll see if she chimes back in. Anybody else online there on the queue? Vance, is that it?
I don't think so right now, no.
Okay, very good. All right. All right. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the January 2013 board meeting minutes. I do not have those, and so.
Anybody else?
Did anybody get a chance to see those? I didn't see them.
Look, I think that I didn't see them.
Jody made some correct. It was right after the other meeting.
This was right after the other meeting? Well, I'm going to have to go back through my thing and see why I didn't get them. So I... Thank you.
Oh, no, there's another one. This one's mine.
All right. Do we have an approval on those minutes or abstain? I'm going to have to abstain because I didn't get a chance to read them right now. What I didn't want to do is have to read them.
You're right.
Why send them out? Yeah, no, she did. Linda did a good job and had them out by Monday or Tuesday that the following. Well, because you did, because Shauna Cox was not here, and so you sent them, I think, Jody and I to look over, and she made some corrections and sent them back, and then I thought maybe you sent them out to everyone.
I apologize. I did not get it. I didn't see
okay.
It pushed through that.
Do you want to put it?
Well, I think
last time we had that same thing. I don't think we should.
Okay.
I guess just give us just a second here.
Linda, I have checked in. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
if I get a chance to skip to that.
Mark, go ahead. I don't mind even just cruising through this just because the way that Linda's doing it now is helpful to know kind of where we were and to, I mean, several of these things.
There's seven pages. I only got one page.
Yeah, there's four pages. Look through that. But I just, you know, there's several things in there that were sent out as action items, and I'm just curious to know, or it's a good reminder, did we, you know, if we made any progress or not? Maybe we'll cover it.
There's a spot that when we go over all the action items here later on in the agenda.
Okay.
Mark and Ryan had a suggestion before you came that I list the action items and move and vote at the bottom of the
new agenda.
At the very bottom, so that you can easily go back and see over several minutes what has happened.
That way, if you're trying to go online or you're looking at the notes or whatever, instead of looking through 4 hours of script, so you can just go to the bottom paragraph. That was discussed in this meeting. That way we can move forward quicker on a lot of different things.
Those of you that are on the cam, you might want to hit star 4 so we don't hear what you're doing over there.
Well, I was just emailing Vance about that, how to go on mute here, because if you're on your laptop, you're not on your phone. So I'm not sure on the Skype thing how to do that yet.
There's a little microphone at the bottom. I think that mute. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, exactly. Roll your cursor down to the bottom. You'll get a pop-up, and there'll be a little microphone, and you just click on it.
Okay, I've got to get that screen. Okay.
Just roll your cursor to the bottom, and it'll show up there, probably. At least that's what it's doing with me. Or you can go to the, Jody, you can go to the top under call and hit the drop down, and then there's a mute there.
Yeah, it's not letting me do that either. Let me keep working on this here.
Okay. You must have a different screen layout set up than I do.
I do.
Much better. I'll listen to all that.
Now, can she talk?
Just yeah, watch. She can come back on and talk.
Yeah, she's has to. She's
has to hit the button. So. Does everybody get a chance to review over that okay now? We'll go ahead and take a vote to approve the minutes as they are listed.
I make a motion to approve the January minutes.
I'll second that motion. Anybody opposed? All right. Moving forward then. Next item on the agenda is the financial report from Linda.
Okay.
You have received, again, in, on email, all the reports Gail asked me to send those. I haven't sent that to you. We have taken in approximately 63,000 worth of assessments. Our our bills have been minimal, mostly because I haven't been trying to pay them. But we have sent about $2,300 in bills that have come in just in the last everyday thing, really nothing glamorous.
Okay.
Still have available to come to us 94 now. And except for the assessments coming in and that sort of thing, there hasn't been anything major happening on the financial end of things.
When in there, you've got a couple things like interest income, 800. Well, that may have been from back to assessments. For the 2,700 reimbursed expenses.
Reimbursed expenses. I have to. I'll go on the screen.
Okay, that's just a big. In a month, I don't know where we would have got $2,700 of reimbursed expenses or something.
Well, these are from January, yeah.
Yeah, they're since yep. The year.
Here on the profit loss.
Yep.
I don't have a budget versus actual, actually, the budget has not been put in yet for 2013. This will take just a minute. If you want to go on, I can report on that afterwards.
Okay, then we'll you guys can throw down that while she's finishing their adding her stuff up there with us. We'll move in and we'll give Linda a chance to fall back on that report in just a few moments. The next item on the agenda, I'm going to swap those two items around. I'm going to swap from the ranch caretaker report and the general manager report. I've asked Linda to swap these from here forward. I think we need to get the general manager report first and then the caretaker report. So, Dale, on the ranch general ranch manager report.
Mark, the situation's like we all spent time yesterday with the BLM on Title V and roads up there.
Yes, Davey. Yes. You want to chime in? Are you in town? Okay, yeah, we did start the meeting. He called on a conference call?
Sure. Okay.
Hang on a second, I'll hand the phone over to Linda. Sorry about that, I figured I'd answer. This is Dave.
Yeah, he's where I'm Scott this morning. Here.
He reports he is not in town. What's the problem?
If you, I don't have you as a contact, so you need to. I'm calling Skype, so you should look for your stage manager on Skype and you can do that, a search.
Vance, can you hear us okay?
Yeah. Linda, yeah. Tell Dave to check his email and I'll send him a link to the directions, okay?
Okay, he'll send
Joey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Perfect. That worked better. Let him do that and carry on. All right. Go ahead, Dale. Sorry about the interruption.
Mark, I just said for years we've talked about having a general manager. As an item for that meeting yesterday, we talked about Title V. I don't know if anybody's aware that there's a legal document in 1981 between the ranch and the county. Also, the Title V in 1980, 2002, and they asked for documentation of a nonprofit organization. I don't know if anybody knows where that is or how to get it to them.
Just to get our tax free, is this to get our tax exempt?
No, to get to waive the BLM fees.
My guess would be 9/11.
On Title V.
We'd be able to produce that.
The activity on Slide Canyon, the BLM, the county, the money involved, the maps involved. I have all of those things, have had them from day one, but they're not being used. So I've also suggested things over the last few years about roads, fields, cabins, water, money, management, leadership, and also these collections of Stafford that we'll be talking about later on in Beasley. And so since there's some that think I'm in a conflict of interest, I officially resign as any part of a general manager position and still recommend that the ranch desperately needs a general manager to make all these things available. But as long as we fill out applications and lose them or channel them in different directions, or we think that somebody else has got our paperwork to take care of our needs, then we continue to spend lots and lots of time on duplicating the same things. And so my report as general manager would be to terminate. And because we're not effectively moving, as we've talked about over the years, and part of this is being totally irritated by accusing that I'm the one that's holding up everything. I'm the one that's causing all the delays. I'm the one that's in conflict. And so I will not remove myself yet as a director, but I may, so that the rest of you can move forward with speed and expeditiously.
Okay. With that being said, I think as the board, I think we accept your resignation. Thank you for what you have done on that thus far, as we've reinstated that position with you. As a board, I think we sit back and think about the next move on that, on a general manager, and I'd say that if anybody is interested in that, they put a request into the board as a, you know, that responsibilities, or let the board think about our next move on that. As an action item, let's go ahead and move the manager's general manager position or whatever to next meeting.
Well, before we do that, I just have a question. Linda, were you not approached on this about 8 months ago or so, and is that still an option for you?
I was approached on that and was not, and it went no further than that. It was just mentioned to me. I hadn't given it any further thought because of the way things transpired.
So is that something that we should think about now?
If that is what you would like, yes, I can consider that.
Okay, I guess we need to get a little bit more detail down on it, I guess, and know what that involves. Because I know you're strapped for time now, but how would that work out? So maybe we should put that to the board for consideration, and let's have some discussion on that at some point.
And that's why I didn't want to, you know, if that's the possibility of doing that, I don't want anybody to have to make a quick decision today. I don't want to push that on anybody.
Yes,
I think it's really fair that we give anybody a chance to think about that before we make a move on it. So
yes.
And then, like I said, as a board, we can throw some emails and some suggestions, or if anybody from the association or whatever wants to throw out any input to, then we can hear their stuff online.
I throw out a brief job description.
I can't hear who's talking now.
It's Christian.
Did you guys
draw a brief job description of what the general manager's responsibilities would be?
Something we've never put together a job description before, but something we what would we be requiring or asking the? And I think that's a fair statement. Maybe that's an idea as a board we can all start to have lots of ideas and throw those together and share those amongst each other and see if we can't come up with one. Oh. As to what we request or what they're supposed to be in, responsible for. Okay.
Before we leave this, is there some other reason that you or than what you named is the reason to resign that position?
It's the whole attitude.
Because I don't... The attitude of the board and those that are here today, I don't think reflect at all what you stated. And the two or three examples are things that you stated. You know, Mark and I were the only ones involved in the road meeting yesterday or a month ago.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, other than him. But, you know, so right. Your reference to the application that Mark filled out from a month ago's meeting, and I have documented and turned in to the BLM where, you know, Mark sent it out, had his secretarial staff in Vegas type it up. I printed it, gave it to Linda. Linda delivered it to him. The BLM now claims that we never turned it in, lost it. And I don't think it has any bearing on this board or should on, you know, your relationship. So.
Did you get my emails about the check?
Yeah.
It's in cash.
Yeah. And they wrote, Mark Foley wrote a letter of receipt acknowledging that it had been cashed. That's why I said, how can you get our check but not our application that supposedly was returned? Yesterday, and I emailed it back to him to the show. But
and I think there's just the undergoing undertone of disrespect, of lack of confidence, of making a decision on Slight Canyon, only to then be reported back that some of our members went in and challenged or wondered what was going on. It's there's an attitude of
I've seen all the things you've seen, and I think I understand. The only thing that I don't understand is whether it's this or the letters of moving forward with the things the board has approved on Meadow Canyon development of the pavilion. We all have, there's always a whiner, there's always somebody that doesn't agree, and that's life. We all move forward. If you're in a position that you can't be general manager or move forward with some of those projects because one or two people question or are negative, I guess that's something that's the direction that we've gone the last couple of months, and I guess we won't move forward on any of those things. It's something that's outside of any of our control or that we're going to, I think, have any spend any more time trying to you know, investigate every situation and track down and find out who asked the question and why.
Yeah. It's just this one letter that says he's acted unethical, dishonest, and illegal, and that keeps coming up. The fact on the things happening at the ranch, Dale, I believe you think you know what is needed for the ranch. Your vision is just your vision. This should not be confused with what the membership wants. I've pressed that to find out if I'm out in left field. So we quit wasting time and we keep discussing the same things, but to go ahead and move, there's critical things that's needed up there, and if some of you think I'm the one standing in the way of progress and things that's needed, then I would be delighted to remove myself from that block. And the ways that I could help, and I think I've told the board that, and individually, there's nothing against the BLM meeting yesterday, other than it takes the number of hours that was spent on that when a person, a trusted person, could have met with the BLM probably in an hour's time and looked at their maps and solved the Title V, the merger between the three or four different Title V's that we're working on, and using their maps and working with the two men there. Like they said, we're kind of tired of this thing dragging on month after month or year after year, when we should conclude it. So I'm just anxious to get it squared away. So
the letters I got too from that that Ben shared with me, they've asked us to hold off.
Well, those letters have gone to the entire board. So you've gotten a copy of all those letters. You were in both meetings, and this is simply a volunteer army.
If
you were saying that you could have solved it in an hour, and you chose not to as general manager and board member, then none of us are going to bellyache or blame you or scream that you didn't. And if you're saying that then we have other things, you know, I think I know what you want to do, and it just won't happen, and so be it. I just don't want to hear complaining or frustration later if now we're going to resign, go a whole different direction, which is, you know, that's life, and we'll figure it out.
I moved promptly right on that after that last meeting, and they had that letter, was submitted back up here. I think it came into Ben's office on the 1st. That was just, within like a week after our meeting, so there's no grass that grew underneath my feet. We made prompt movement, and I got it all submitted, and what they did and how they lost it was probably because, an idea that, Mark Foley probably saw the check and that application and probably saw that, you know, here's my check, I'm taking that, I don't care about the rest of this paper, and probably filed it in the round camp.
Well, I'm just using that as an example of how we could move. Everybody's under pressure, and we could move on many of these things with less involvement, and still accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. The records and reports and stuff, I think, are available. But I chose not to butt in on the Title V program.
Okay, all right. Then, well, we'll leave that open like I discussed, and we'll move forward, and if anybody has any items, they'll just throw that out there on the to one of the, or to the board. We, as the board, will discuss that ranch manager situation, and we'll report back next month what we're going to do. So, following that, then let's go ahead and next item on the agenda is the ranch caretaker report, Chris.
Before you move on to that, can I jump back to the information that you requested before? Mm-hmm.
the $2,787 for reimbursed expenses is the reimbursement on the Friends lot.
Attorney's fees or
all of that. Yeah.
All of that.
Mm-hmm. And the $816 on interest income is also on the Friends lot.
So that wouldn't go into past due assessments?
Well, that's it. It did also. I mean, that's not. Some of it went there, some of it went to this. So
okay.
That's reimbursement on that, so with the sale of that lot.
Okay, is there anything else if we jump right back to the financial report then that we're still waiting on, or is that the...
I think that's all you were curious about.
Yeah, that was all.
I have... Is that if there's something else you want to
know? Any other questions?
I'd just like to end on that, have a reimbursement for attorney's fees, reimbursement for delinquent. So anytime we collect on a lot, we know we can put it in a category, not just a miscellaneous reimbursement, but a reimbursement of interest that we got off that delinquent lot, reverting the actual past assessments, and reimbursement of attorney's fees. So in a year, we can compare how much did we spend on attorney's fees, how much did we collect in attorney's fees, because most of our attorney's fees we're spending should get collected in these collections. And
On another report, we should read that way, because it'll go into reimbursing those accounts that were
delinquent. Okay. All right, that'll work.
It's just because it's possible.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move. So that'll wrap up our financial report then, and pull anything else up to date that we need to be brought up before we move into the ranch manager caretaker report. Go ahead, Chris.
I guess the first thing that I've looked into doing the landfill at the on the ranch. I called Salt Lake. I got all the information from Donald Willis. I contacted Sam Ranser. And what they did is they sent me, they walked me through, you can go online and I can get the ticket. I don't have my computer with me. My truck broke down here in the county, so I don't have my computer or anything with me. But each of you can also walk through online and see how this is done. But what the application that they told me to follow would be called a Class 2 landfill. We would be able to throw away animals. It'll refurb in a cabin, any garbage from the cabin, trash from the region, paper cups, plastic bottles, stuff like that. So it'd be classified as a Class 2 landfill. And you can follow the same application that Kanab City turned in for their landfill out here. There's a couple of requirements that he just kind of threw out there. It's a 26-page application. But in this, they want to know, you'd have to have, like, echo, hydro, basically where the water flow is, how deep the water sources are in the area that we decide to put this landfill. So, and I'll get this, I'll send the same information out in an email on get back to the ranch. But basically, just follow the same application Kanab City followed, and then we turn that in, and as long as we have all the same reports that are required, then they can move forward and approve this. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of fees. I don't know all that information right now, but it's a detailed report.
Do you by any chance know the website for that?
You know, I have all that information. I can't remember offhand, but I will send that information.
Yeah, if you'll send it to the board.
Hazardous waste, Utah.gov.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Also, I tried to contact the guy that did the assessment on a Kubota tractor, whether we were going to repair that or trade that in for a new tractor. He's discovered he returned my phone calls and tried again on Monday. Also, what I've been doing up there lately is up until recently, I mean, about every day, every other day, the pipes would be frozen. It's closed for a few days. We've been finding out pipes. The sewer's backed up.
The ranch house?
The ranch house, yeah. All I can say is this next spring is to start preparing for winter. You know, with everything out there. If I'd have known what I know now, you know, when I built that water vault that's the one thing I can say. The freeze, we had 25 below zero for 3 days in a row, and that did not freeze, so that worked. start preparing for winter. I cut wood every day, you know, to try to cut enough wood. I'm dragging wood out of the snow, out of the mud, just trying to survive it. And it's a money mess. It's probably all right this morning, but it's going to be. No, but
has anyone seen Kelly alive?
Yeah. Chris did yesterday morning before it came in. She was going to try to call you.
Oh, you talked to her.
Okay, so that's kind of the. But more positive things. There was a generator in the solar room, a diesel powered generator that I believe we can use for the laundry room. That way we don't have to turn on the main generator. Down the wall, though, this is much more economical. I turned it on, I ran it for 12 hours. I probably used 3 gallons of fuel. And I had all of the lights on in the tool room. And I had lights on, I was running power tools with it. So that's why I think the generator will use for the laundry room.
It's going to save a lot of wear and tear on our system.
Yeah, it'll
be good.
Yeah. I'm also thinking about too moving. Right now we do a lot of work with Crosby, but I'm thinking about. I want to talk to Ramsey and see if we get more competitive prices with him as far as mechanic work and stuff like that. Maybe turnaround time maybe a little bit quicker. I just noticed some of the things that we've run with him. I'm not saying his work is bad or anything like that, but I just want to explore other options. Just that we get more competitive prices as far as. You can't get on the truck, but the truck right now is broken down in town. I drove to town yesterday to get. I ran over something in the snow, so it damaged one of the. We spent $1,000 for tires for that green truck. I seen if there was some kind of road damage insurance on the tires. Also, they replaced an A arm in front of that truck when they did the inspection, and tires wearing. Just wearing on one side, like they didn't normalize. I don't know. So anyway, I asked if there was some kind of insurance. He didn't know if he could eat the cost of those tires. But so I just want to explore other options. Maybe Ramsey could treat us a little bit better than being treated right now at Crow. I was going to order $1,000 greater tires, and he still didn't want to really insure or replace those tires that were in the truck. Maybe we could get a little bit better service from those.
So what we're saying, that worked for him. He should step up to the plate.
Because when that damage happened, it was our last board meeting, I left. So the Anthony Dale's house in Martin was your tires off. So I left. Crosby was closed, so I went down to Little's and they put a patch on the tires down. But it's a big tear, and Crosby said he didn't know what he did.
Well, that sounds like that kind of tear you recommend, that you said there is kind of like a road defect or a tire defect.
Yeah.
Where it pulls when the lugs pull up off of the, what I'm talking about, when the lugs pull back. Mm-hmm. So.
So, anyway,
the manufacturers
that need
to know.
Yeah. Those weren't that old.
Yeah.
Those were not
that
old.
Manufacturers.
Any other questions?
And
I'll start getting these weekly reports out.
There hasn't been much going on. I know that Chris sent out a good report the other day that basically stated what he's been doing. On that report, you said you're on the inventory.
Oh, yeah. Also, too, you got the inventory finished up. I'm thinking what I did is I took pictures. I got everything from the old farm equipment out there, items inside the tool room, vehicles, trailers. Some of the closed trailers out there, I could not find VIN numbers. So, but I've got pictures and descriptions. We also have the mileage of the vehicles, the hours on the tractors. And I'm also, Kelly just went through, there was a filing cabinet out in the cow palace that we brought in. There's in their manual to a lot of it. So what we do is this inventory, the description, and also placing in the same files
serial number, a photograph, and then that'll be
okay. Are they all on that digital camera or something?
Right now, I got them on the digital camera, downloaded onto the on the computer, and when I come over this next week, when we try to work on that landfill stuff, maybe we can do a digital file.
Yeah, well, and that's what if we can back it up. I've got a file that Paul Brayton did. I don't know that I got all the ones print when you went through and did that big inventory a year ago. You know, you did a thorough inventory of the tools and stuff.
It was more by hand, not a...
Right, yeah, I didn't... Linda, you have that, right?
I do.
And I know I sent in a whole bunch of paperwork, too, following that report not too much longer with some additional information. I think I added to that, and that should be somewhere so we can... That we can compile it all together.
Well, I have enough storage, even with that stuff. I mean, it's amazing when you're thinking back 3 or 4 years later, and then you can pull up those pictures and say, no, it was there, right there. You can see it in the background or whatever. And so, I have looked through those, and it's. But if we have it in 5 different, you know, I mean, everybody could have one, but any of that, I'm happy to load on there. You know, I downloaded all the pictures that Chris brought in. On the one hill trail camp, man, there's beautiful mountain lions and bobcats on.
Really?
Yeah, there's a big, huge mountain lion that was going in and out. Had it on it 3 times there at the cattle guard at the upper pond. You know, somebody pull out 20 minutes later, then that cat would walk in and.
That's how hard your guys
are. We've seen it.
Yeah.
I opened the door, put the dog out one morning, and he was sitting on the porch growling. I go, what's he growling at? I looked outside, and there's a mountain lion about 40 yards in front of him, just standing there looking at him.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's dinner.
Yep. Oh, wow. Where are we on the vehicles? Did you just move them? The brake vehicles been moved off?
Yeah, all the vehicles have been moved away from the ranch house down by the generator, except for there's a blue truck there. It snowed. Right in the middle of all this, it snowed 2 feet. So I stopped the movement. There's a white truck there with a water tank on the back. There's the Blue International that the ranch used to get their stuff around. And there's the wood chipper. And an old, like, first generation trash here that I still need to. But most all of that, the vehicles still on the ranch car, I got just moving down away from that. And that snow path, too. Where we've done all that planning, and I think it's going to work really good. It's a good crop.
What about the item on here, too? Did we get all those times recorded into the window?
Yeah, I can turn that into.
Okay. All right. Our fuel status.
I'm at a quarter of a tank on the diesel fuel, and we have pretty easy to do that.
My question is, and we need to find out from them, if there's no need to take out gas and all we got is diesel, are they going to charge us, that's tanks only, 500 gallon?
They'll still deliver it for price.
They're not going to get us with a...
They take out a separate truck anyway, and for unleaded diesel, they don't have like a dual tank. I mean, these guys have the same truck, or...
I've worked on that truck.
Yeah, both on there.
I do the cert on that truck for out of Vegas, and it's a 3 compartment on that one.
Yeah.
So
the only problem is the road.
I would say it won't warm it right now.
Right. That's why I'm just.
I think we're okay. I think we're fine right now.
Well, we need to watch it real close, and if it gets to a situation, we might need to when your trip's in with a small truck, please pick up 55-gallon barrel or something to go out and pump in just to make sure. I know we're not running a big generator. Chris reported to me the other day. He was talking, and he said that the ranch house is pretty much being self-sustainable on its own solar system. Yeah. So we really haven't had to run much anything. So,
there's been a couple days where, for some reason, they have to send information to Brent. Brent's going to get together with me on reprogramming that. For some reason, that when it gets about 50%, it'll shut down rather than if we have 2 or 3 or 5 days. But we have not been without power
for
more than a few hours.
But if you still have a quarter tank, we should be able to get through the winter. And the longer we wait, the cheaper it'll be. And if we get a winter, then.
I'm just saying, when he comes to town, he could always grab a 50 instead of half of the
Just watch your PLL close on that one. That's pretty much stable.
Then I shut that valve off to the generator going in.
We have done a little bit of extra fuel because we've done the extra grader work and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's just a matter of capability.
Yeah.
Afterwards, will you visit with me a little bit about where things are crazy?
Yeah, you know, and I will.
We don't need to talk about it now. But
okay. I can just do a brief. The biggest one is where the hot water heater is, and Lee Deller actually donated 1-inch foam board. But the hot water heater is almost outside of it, and there's no bottom to it. The wind blows right up underneath it. It's where the salt. There's a salt water softener, that hot water heater. That's where the pipes could be.
This
was
the
thermal
supply. The last couple of women
said, I didn't know any of that.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Anything else on that, Chris?
That's it.
All right, moving on to the next item on the agenda would be the roads and fire protection from me. On the Title V, as Dale talked about there briefly, we did meet again with the BLM. We had the county was over there. So we had representation from pretty much everybody we needed to yesterday. It was decided that the county will go ahead and they're going to adapt the lower Slide Canyon Road up to the intersection where the private starts. They're going to reclassify that as a B road, which means they'll do the same maintenance on that one as they do on Scudamaw, because Scudamaw is also a B road. As soon as the weather permits and it's dry enough to get up in there, they're going to go in and we'll meet the county, the BLM, and somebody from Pier Springs is all going to get together, and sure I'll be there, meet, and they're going to come up with a plan to get in there and do some county-size maintenance to make it so the traders can get in and out of there, because there's other private property back in there that road is used, and that is a publicly, we can't block that road off because it is a public road.
That road got a number on it?
Yes, it does.
Do we know the number?
Yes. It's on the maps Vance has on the system, I think. They can save stuff about whatever maps are out there.
Vance, can you find that number for us?
Well, whoever drives by it the next time, get it off that fiberglass widget. No, it's not on the maps because when I made the maps, the county was busy duking it out with the entire world and nobody was able to land on anything as far as a number.
So, by the way, Chris brought a birthday cake for Linda and we're going to cut into it. So those people who aren't here.
Sorry. It's beautiful. Pink roses. Happy birthday, and it's German chocolate cake. I won't keep that for a minute.
That's a good one.
Happy birthday, Linda. A day late. I do have the route number for that road on my GPS. I can look it up and email it out later.
Thank you. I just want to put it in a minute so we know exactly what road we're talking about.
It was decided during that meeting that they agreed that since half of the time has been gone on our permit on that one and that some things are expired, that they do like the idea of moving it all onto one permit so it could be tracked instead of three or four. They are going to help us redo that whole thing so we can put another 30-year Title V in place on all the road branches, all the branch roads. That was one of the tasks that Ben has with setting up that meeting, and like I said, it went through good. I pretty much just reported on yesterday.
I just have a question from, you know, for you and Bill over there. That, you know, because we, now it's a little bit of a change of direction and stuff to work with the county on the, you know, county road, B County Road and stuff on that lower slide. Is there any reason that that would not be a positive?
Gee, I think it'd be real positive.
Why the little pieces? Well, I just think, you know, when I, you know, because Mark, again, continues to refer to the county, and so
they seem to, the BLM wants the county to lead. And when I drove the road with Harris, he seemed to think it was very practical, but they did not want to move until they had this conversation they talked about yesterday.
Right.
So I think sometime in the near future, we'd get the BLM and the county out there, and so they can talk and shake hands and move the equipment in.
Well, I didn't say it there, but just so you know, we have, you know, I had talked with Commissioner Flayson, and I was in a meeting Tuesday or Wednesday with them and Lou Pratt about a, you know, another county road thing. That's when I asked him and said, hey, is there a problem, since he keeps referring in the letters to making sure we have your approval, or if you want to come. I thought, you know, and so I didn't let them know and didn't know if they were going to be offended to have the county here. But again, Lou's good to work with and stuff, so I thought it's worth gambling. But they have, the commissioners should vote Monday, and they've started the process to add that to their B class road mileage. They're trying to get more miles turned into the state. So they will add that 3 miles and approve it. That's the first step they have to do before they go to BLM and just show them, well, this is what we plan on doing, which again would incur, I think, those culverts. So the only thing I think here on roads, Mark, is, have we ever made a decision, or can we, as far as, you know, the association committing to purchase and provide the culverts? You know, we've talked about if the ranch would provide the culverts to the county. You know, I think Dale's talked to the county as far as installing them with their equipment and stuff.
Well, and Ben, this is part of my frustration, if you want to call it that, is I've paid Phil Hall for the culverts.
Okay.
Now, whether the county, whether Deer Springs pays me, okay, like I have a bill here from Clark Lamb on the repair of the diversion in Meadow Canyon and the widening and working of roads over in Broad Hollow and Slide Canyon. And so it could move forward very smoothly with the county and get the culverts moved on over there that they have been paid for. And
I know we've said that. I mean, they may bring in and provide their own culverts.
Well, they talked about us providing both culverts.
But I think that's already been mentioned, so they're gonna hope and think that we've already kind of committed to that. And so I think then if we can, you know, get a price, now if you bought them, you own them, to provide whatever's needed and footage wise, because I haven't really looked at it, but
I think they're about 30 feet long, aren't they, Larry?
They are 30 feet. Would 30 feet cover that lower crossing by the time you build up? So one in there and one in the upper one or something, 2 30-foot culverts would handle it?
In both of them. Larry's already taken one of the kinks out. There's another kink in at the spring area. That road needs to be moved over just a little
bit. Just above the spring?
Just below the spring.
Spring
water used to cross the road. And to cut that back and make a new channel. Very simple. Larry did a great job in the north wing. And so it's all coming nicely along. I was pleased with the attitude there with the county and the BLM.
I was really, really excited that they were all seemed to work really
Well, especially now it's marked out of the picture.
The other Mark Foley.
Yeah, not that Mark. The bigger butt head Mark.
Yeah.
Did I say that
on the record?
Yeah, you did. That's fine. I'm cool with it.
You saw how he treated me yesterday.
He loved me like a brother.
I want to compliment you, Ben. You really did a good job.
Right. You were there.
When he started talking about the amount of money it's starting to be based upon amount of time.
Right.
You know what? He's getting paid.
Well, and I didn't want to, I hate to argue with him because I've learned, you know, like, but when you're bringing up stuff that is completely untrue, that, well, I base these fees. No, these fees were calculated between Dirk Clayson, Brent Fulmer, the head of the BLM,
Harry Barber,
yeah. Long before you even hired him in this position, you know.
That's the only time he's ever spent with us.
That was the first meeting that he has spent on this for the fees that we have paid. So he acts all put out. But there are several other things, but I try to not even fight.
You did really well. You were firm, but not mean.
Oh. All right. Anything else?
The only problem I see is if the county, you know, we kind of went through the same sort of thing when we were going to do Title V and we did not do it, so we didn't, and nothing happened to us now for 12 years. So if the county's staying, we're going to take it over and make it be a road. That needs to happen.
Yeah.
And then by the next flood, or we're back in the next
That's where it's really important for you, Dale, Brent, that are up there. As soon as it dries out for a spell where we could make a site visit, even on a couple of days' notice, if we had a warm 30-day spell, even between, you know, as soon as we can, we could grab Hugh, if that's who it's going to be, or whoever, and Lou, and going to do it. I know that, you know, Bert Harris and stuff that has worked out, but this area, I know that, you know, these letters that have gone from Mark Foley have been addressed to Lou Pratt, and I don't know exactly their different roles, but Lou has still been the one that works with the BLM litigation and stuff a little bit more, it seems like, and that's why I didn't know, and had asked Commissioner Clayson, should Bert continue with this, or Lou, and at this point, I think to communicate with as few as possible. But the next thing, as soon as we can get them up there and make that site visit for an hour or two, they will then get it in their schedule and get that installed this spring.
If you guys, if there's any possibility, I'll try my best to come up to that meeting. If you just kind of give me a heads up, say, hey, look, like whether the road's good or whatever, I'd like to see if I can take a quick run up here real fast, so.
And make a request. Can you email me a list of everybody that was there and their titles so that I can put it in the minutes and it's a record?
Yep, I've got my.
Give me that to me, and I'll insert it. Thank you.
Other than that, things are moving real well. They did ask, you know, we asked them if they wanted to continue that Title V, and they said it's just something they're going to have to close out. So they asked us, again, not to go ahead and push the Title V on that lower slide. Right.
The one thing they didn't address, and I didn't want to talk to them about it, was that section of road going over to your guys' place. Now, what are we going to do on that? Because I know he was concerned that we need to get...
Yeah, that's something that we do need to, once it's... get some good weather to get there. We do need to review that
crossing,
see if we can get that culvert in there. Because, like you said, we're going to be in deep violation if we don't get that road back up.
Well, you know, we're paying for it. So right. I mean, we're paying for the Title V work.
If it's good weather up there, we should take him over to the, you're talking the toll road between Podunk and Meadow Canyon.
No, I'm
low
talking about the
low.
We need to do that too.
But that's right. When you're talking the one that's washed out going straight up to lot 1 and 2.
Right, yes.
But to take a trip then on over with just you and couple and say, look, this is what we're going to do. So, you know, does that sound good? And get his sign off. You're right. From our first meeting, we agreed that we wanted to look at it, where we were going to rebuild water bars, which would, in essence, get outside of a 20 or 30 foot
roadway. But they're still the old ones that, you know, that were there, just need to be cleaned out and try to build that road up.
And if we need to do that by going over that coal road, I mean, if you let me know when, I have my little, you know, that flare screw I got, if you get 5 or 6 guys on it, we can just put over there through there.
Okay. Well, we need to do that.
Take it through there on the vehicle.
Well, but the other thing we need to do is stay, determine, was that a 50 foot?
Probably.
Right, yeah, that was.
If it's a 50 foot, to walk up through there and put some lath and say, look, here's the little road that's 4 feet deep. We have 50 feet, just so you know, we're going to try to take 5 feet or something on each side and roll that dirt in the middle and build that up and make some borrow ditches so that if we're going to do it, let's get his approval and make it, you know, do a major road improvement one time, instead of a little bit here and a little bit there, you know.
I think we're going to have to get Larry involved.
Well, it was with all the ones that Larry Bear did on the whole ranch.
A few of them.
Right. Do you remember what that document, that easement number, how wide were they designated?
They weren't all the same. There were 24s and 30s and 50s.
Okay. I've got a copy of that. That's the only thing we just need to determine on that stretch. How wide
is that building? We got stuck in going from Poland back to.
No.
Okay. Is that road ever going to be fixed up? Or?
Yeah. And
that's something. It wasn't
bad. That's
what I thought.
Need to culvert.
It just needs that culvert and just rebuild that one area.
But, if you let me know, I can, like I said, even bring that and we can, if we get those guys out there, make that a little bit more so we can pile on that and go to that area if you'd like. If they have the time, I don't know if they have the time, we'll have to see what they want to do.
Yeah, I think we went over every road or anything that looked like a road and GPSed it. We spent all summer on every road. A lot of them they marked off. They said, oh, that's the road. They pick up the drill, that hole, the test hole or something, and this and that and the other. We didn't claim them, but we had them all.
But that's with the BLM?
What? With the BLM?
With the BLM. So they GPS'd
it? No, you were asking.
GPS out the window, and she drove the, asked me where we first road here, and we went and found every road all through there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's all I have for my section there. Then nothing else needs to be brought up on the road to fire right now. Then we'll go ahead and move on.
Let's make a motion to, I know that it's on, but to ratify that letter you signed yesterday.
Oh, yeah. They asked for during that meeting yesterday, they asked for a letter from me from the president's position to authorize somebody that can and is willing to run right in there and help deal or sign on whatever for the roads. And so I went ahead and wrote her. We wrote up a letter, me and Ben drafted up a letter together, and I signed it, and he's got it submitted to them, allowing Ben to go down there and sign for road approval with the BLM. That's just stating for record. We don't need a vote on that.
Well, it should be voted. We did before. We had a formal vote. I just want it voted so it's in the record. We voted, and I signed for the gravel pit. I got a $50,000 permit to crush gravel so that it was legal, and I was also authorized on the grading application, which is directly my area, and so those reports and stuff I have been signing. So
that letter did reflect all of the stuff for the gravel and for
it
the...
restated
it.
I hope that we approve your letter signing Ben as the...
All right. I'll second that motion. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
then so that's been deleted. So.
Can
all you right.
get a copy of that letter?
Yeah, he made a copy of it.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll email it to you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item, agriculture and wildlife. Ben?
Doing a lot of things here in the winter, but the main thing I want to do, Linda, did we get a report from Doug turned into the BLM? That's something that I'm not sure that I saw.
The number of cows?
Yeah,
yeah.
Where they were and
yeah.
Can you
yeah.
get that to me?
Yeah.
Okay. We have to sign it in the spring. That we just file and send in, but I do want to, you know, want a copy for my record so that I can, tell on that. Then, our next thing will be as soon as weather is permitting to get going on fencing, start working with Chris on as much as he can do around the headquarters and some repair and stuff, and then possibly, bringing in a contract crew to build some new stuff. But, we'll put cows in again, starting in late May and going out to BLM. I think we can't go on the BLM until June 10. But a lot of times they start hauling some in later in May and kind of dumping them just around the headquarters and then, push them either Deer Springs Point if we have water out there. That catchment that Larry rebuilt with the snow is going to be full. Then we may do that in the spring and graze it while there's that good crested wheat before it dries out and bugs get it or whatever. The bugs really haven't hit it as hard the last couple of years. But,
something I talked with Chris about a couple of days ago was with our weather the way it is and it's too cold to do some certain jobs, but too wet and muddy to do others. That, Chris is the one that sees what's going on there every day. He knows what the weather's doing. He knows what he has to work on, but he knows where the snow is and when it's not, but we don't. What I suggested to him is to start to think about and, to do the fence around the wealth build and around the headquarters areas because we have planted all that grass and we want to keep our cattle off of that. Necessarily, I'm not sure if now is I don't know when a good time is to string wire because I don't want to make heavy snowfall on something and have to break the wire. But we can sure to get some posts in the ground and some so forth to areas that need to be prepared to go.
I already got all the specifications. There's that gate right there that goes to the snow. It's all broken down. I got all the stuff. I got the new gate posts there. I even have bands marked where the water line and the power line was. So, as soon as it's not, it's just a money mess. As soon as it's not money, I'm replacing that gate. Yeah, I guess you guys don't get it.
Yeah.
And then about before it snowed, I drilled a couple holes down. How the cows are getting into the well field is down by the ranch house. There's that whole section of fence right here. I've drilled a couple holes, put a few posts in there, but that as soon as it gets dry enough, it's
just that's where they kind of just jump over pretty low.
Yeah, and there's a whole section of fence that's not even there.
Okay. Well, I think that any of those, the only other thing we can do right now is any of these old gates, if we can bring them in and they're in the tractor shed, weld them up, redo them, some of those old aluminum ones. Unless they're completely destroyed, they're a lot better than nothing. Some of those that you could, with self-tapping screws, screw them back together and reinforce them and, put wire from one corner to the other and twist it up or whatever and just rebuild that, and then go and set them. The other thing is, again, more, back on roads. If you can get some of those, road signs and have them bolted to a post where somebody can help you. And put that auger on the tractor.
I've got it to the tractor.
And go out and, just with a truck and a trailer to follow and the tractor and drive to a lot of the main intersections, at least where roads names are, and get at the corner, drill a hole, drop a post in, drive to the next one. If it was already bolted to the pole, to a cedar post.
Where are we?
I think that, I think they're up under Dale's cabin right now because we were, putting that out. But, so when you can drive into there to get those and have them pre-lag posts, I put 30 signs in a day, and that's more than we've done. Now, those signs moving around for 10 years.
And that's the lot number of signs.
And the street signs. There are named street signs that coordinate with the names that are on that, the ranch map now.
Well, one thing I talked to Chris about is we need to start right now, too, in preparing to get so forth up and going. We need to start looking around or seeing what we're going to have for any kind of supplies.
I've got pictures of all that, too, when I did the inventory of that. I don't know how many, exact number of cedar posts I have, but I took the pictures. There's a pile of cedar posts, a pile of dancers,
two rolls of wire. We need to get the wire. We need to purchase a little wire. I mean, it doesn't take long to roll.
I need to check back with Taylor. He was going to do, this big order he was doing, he was going to set aside at least enough wire to get it a lot more price.
So it's Chris available as time goes through doing repaired and or building where he can do. But
that was part of the nice thing. Summer when I to clean up like items and like areas so I can just walk through the inventory when I have. I go to build a fence.
We're hearing. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
To say, have everybody else in the silence. We don't hear every breath and every click of your pen.
Sorry about that. Let me get back to it.
It worked out much better. We don't have to hear all the extra humming on the telecom machine too. There's a hum that goes with it. But please chime in when you got something to add. And thank you for joining us. There's this on the end of there's this proposed by Dave Curley for $4,600.
And that's where I still. Did we email this out?
Yeah.
But for the roof on.
You didn't find it?
There, I guess I said I emailed.
Proposal by Dave Curley for $4,600 reimbursement.
Dave, this is your area. You want to chime in on this?
I'm here. I'm trying to remember what it is. Hang on just a second.
Yep.
I said $100, Dave.
Reimbursement.
Roof on cabin 3, maybe?
No, this is for the invoice that Dale, or the question that Dale had about being reimbursed.
He asked me to put the agenda.
Okay, well, is that on that last letter that you sent, Dale?
Yes.
And that's the next.
I paid the $4,600 back dues on Stafford's two properties on which I hold trust deeds. And for that money to be moved all over.
Well, should this
payment for some of my stuff?
Should this go to an executive meeting in this one?
Well, it just needs to be handled all together. I don't know why it was under wildlife then, but
I don't know neither about wildlife.
It's not so we can, under item 8. So.
Well, right. I think we should pay.
Let's move that over to executive
and put it, handle all that financial together.
Okay, let's move to which would be the next item anyway, then, huh?
Yeah, I saw that on there.
So is there anything else off agriculture and wildlife before we move on to the next segment then?
Anything we need to do, Larry, on wildlife, or are we set as far as the deadline?
We're done for this year.
But just for next year or anything we need to file or agree on. Next thing would be a turkey hunt in the spring, and have you got any inquiries as far as hunters turkey-wise?
Not yet.
I mean, that'll start April 1st.
Is it a draw, or is it just a...
You still put in, but it's pretty old.
There's two. There's a draw, which is the early hunt, and then there's open 2 weeks later.
Last year the draw, the hunt is all the month of April where you can, you know, turkeys, you can call them and stuff. And then there was two others for a while, the first 2 weeks of May or the second 2 weeks of May. And again, some of them, depending on the weather, how many are that high or when they drop down for the winter or whatever. But yeah, they'll be both, but you know, we just still don't want anybody, we have a fee and we kind of know where they are. We're not as concerned about the shotguns, shells or whatever, but to have them there, you know, in the meadow or, you know, on the ranch, they need to be registered and stuff.
Have you met with those outfitters that was talking about taking over the...
Yeah, and we're still working on some plan, potential
funds for their, extra funds for their end.
Okay.
All right. Anything else from the board and or public on the agriculture and wildlife before we move? Then let's move right into the next segment on the agenda, which is water resources and management sales.
Mark, the board asked that I keep them informed about what funds are being paid for different things, and that's what I did, giving you items. In addition to those items for tree clearing in Canyon, the culverts, and I don't remember right now what the other item was, but
is that Clark Lamb's reservoir conversion work?
No, that's on the next one here. To report to you that I paid $15,000 for proper pipe for the Meadow Canyon system, and $2,000 to Mark M for the bin. He passes down to Linda. $2,000 for Clark while he's been up there. Then we spent about $10,000 on materials that we got out of the church over here. The intent was that it would be used perhaps in the pavilion. So those three items, just to make you aware of it, Mark, are items additions of the $29,000 that I wrote the letter on the other day. To clarify one thing, someone was saying that we had reported conflicting stories on the water, testing of water. I don't know where somebody got an idea that there have been testing of water. Have not been in testing of water or any activities on the system. I am an engineer on water development for Deer Spring with the plan to submit some new well applications and some new application on springs. I was extremely pleased with our meeting with the state on potential water activities at Deer Springs. And so we'll follow through on some of the things we've been doing. And in the next month or two, it's going to be advertised in the local newspaper, which is their system of notifying the public as to what's happening.
And that would be to get approval to, let's say that,
up the well?
To, you're talking spring?
Springs and well.
On the Meadow Canyon water, right?
Well, that's all been done. There's no changes on it.
What's in the coming up?
They will notify the any applications. Application in the local newspaper today for somebody by the name of something, I don't remember what it was. Every application comes in the local newspaper.
So, or approval. They have to find a newspaper for some of DSROA's water rights to either change use or change point or this stuff that you, something that
you should be doing.
What? Yeah, and it's still an open basin.
It is.
The only one that's left to stay.
Yeah.
And it's only for small wells.
Right.
Tried to talk them into a bigger one, but just for the 0.015s. And so we talked about locations and where they may be effective. And some of the things we've talked about for 30 years, and was very pleased to. He was acquainted with different things happening up there. And so I do think we're going to do some things that we've anticipated doing for a long time. So it was a good meeting.
I think by way of presentation, none of this has anything to do with DSROA or Association Land or Association Water Rights.
Right.
That is true. That's what I was trying to get.
No, this is stuff that you're working on for your lots. For private lot clusters in Clyde Canyon or in Broad Hollow or in Meadow Canyon or in the Podunk, but it's private lot wells, it's neighbor property wells, it has nothing to do with the SROA.
Okay. That's what I did. I was reading for a second and thought maybe I missed something, didn't know.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in here if I could, please.
Okay.
The Skype connection is being really, really spotty. I'm only getting a few different other words, so I need some clarifications. First, I'd like to keep the pavilion money you spent on that deal or whatever. Could that be a separate category out of the water resources? And maybe, Linda, we can put it as a separate thing on the agenda when we talk about it. The $15,000 for proper pipe for Meadow Canyon deal, what is that from? What was that for?
It was pipe that was ordered and delivered from Schultzen's and Hurricane.
For what purpose, please?
For the development of the Meadow Canyon Springs and 7,000 foot of pipeline taking it down to the fish pond area.
Okay, we have never discussed that before, have we?
Yes, there's two resolutions on it.
Okay, we have never approved to do that. That's something that you just did financially on your own then?
I was moving forward on a resolution that the board passed sometime during the last year or two.
Okay, I don't recall anything talked about for that kind of pipe, that kind of money for a pipeline at this point. We were still in the study stages of that, and I think you said at the last meeting that we talked about that more studies had been done. You just had not proposed them or given them to us. Have you brought those with you today?
There are none. There was none committed to last time. There's no studies been made.
You've talked about pipe before.
We've talked about pipe continually.
We haven't talked about it a dollar amount yet or purchasing it.
This is Jen. What? This is Jen. We discussed it because the price was good on pipe and you were going to hit. We got a lot of head nodding. That doesn't come on the recording. We'd have to look back in the minutes to.
Yeah,
that was.
I don't think that that's an issue.
Right.
The way that, and that's one thing that we're going to have to get through today, whether it's on a few toes either way, is clarify where the board is based on the approvals that were, you know, that we voted, and we can reread it and see if it is worded the way we want it to, but whatever it is, it's already on the books. And so, I, in my opinion, the way that that's been worded, if Dale wants to go buy pipe or whatever, then he's at liberty to do that. He's not at all bound, you know, have not worked out, you know, hearing and we've out back and forth. I mean, I know Jody still mentioned last month and is believing that the association's paying half and Dale's paying half or something. The resolution is Dale's carrying 100% of the cost however he wants to move forward with that. So we can't, and I don't intend to micromanage every phone call on that. The issue of the water, that's where, you know, you said a minute ago, I think same thing she's referring to. On our teleconference meeting last month, you did say that other reports that you had on water and did not feel comfortable sharing with the board because it may raise more questions. And now you're saying today there has been no test. So that's and that's what she's referring to, you, is what you said. So I don't know. And it's easy. I'll tell everybody the best thing that any member can do, and definitely board, if you haven't, Mark didn't mention it, go back and listen to every minute of the meeting the last year, and it will make you 10 times better board member when you realize what stuff we do rehash over and over, and those things. But that's all recorded, and I know that, you know, you said that there was other water, testing and engineer study and things, but, that you had not, reported to the board. So that's, again, was the commitment, what she's referring to. So I don't know if you can remember, you know, listen to that and then jog your memory as to what you had been thinking or referring to at the time.
Now, there's been no testing, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, she's only based on words of Kate, and that there's not accusations or, like you referred to, there's somebody said something. This is stuff that those of us who were on the call came from you. So,
I think there's a difference between testing and reporting and studies and surveys. If Rasmussen does a survey or studies, puts together a paper on what he feels is underneath here or there, there's no testing been done.
Well, whatever that was.
That could be clarification because I had met with the geologist.
I think what he said was that there were some new reports made and there's ongoing work studies done, but there's been no water.
Right.
Chemical testing,
right. And I know
that's where I think or drilling or probing or something. Somebody's asking about a test. He says, I haven't done any tests.
Right.
It's Rasmussen. It's Rasmussen.
Well, that's why I'm just Daniel? Trying to clarify and get the what.
Daniel Rasmussen.
No.
Did you say Daniel?
Daniel Clarkson.
Yeah. No. Oh, Daniel, his son was there in that process.
Was he from the state?
What?
Did Daniel work with the state?
No. He was there with Dale as on his side, and they met with the guy from state engineer.
Which is Rasmussen?
No.
We're all kind of confused.
Yeah.
Jim Rasmussen is a geologist here in Canal.
I know Jim. Okay.
So
he's the geologist you met with.
Right. As a consultant, he has consulted him on.
Because I wrote down here Daniel from the state. I didn't give him last name.
No, he said that I and Daniel met with the state engineer.
With the state.
Who was that with the state engineer?
You know, I'd almost rather not tell you, Ben. Well, somebody here will be calling and saying, hey.
Okay. Well,
that's
fair.
They can call Salt Lake and see the state engineer.
I understand.
See what he knows and what he doesn't. So that's the reason.
Okay, and I understand. I think that's fair.
Okay, paid $15,000 for pipe in Metal Canyon system. That's not being used on the Metal Canyon system. That's being used on your private water system.
Now, why would you twist that so?
No.
I'm not twisting it. I just
didn't say that.
No, he said he bought it.
Okay, so this is for the private system.
Right. And that's the confusion, some of it.
I know.
Everything that Dale reported before, just strike from the record. It has nothing to do with the SRA whatsoever.
Okay.
So that's what Larry was trying to clarify.
That is not true. The $15,000 pipe.
No, but I
purchased for the Meadow Canyon water system.
Right.
That's what I wrote down.
No, you said my personal.
You said for private.
No, I asked, is it? Okay, so the $15,000 is to use all of it on the Meadow Canyon system.
Yes,
that's what you're saying. That's what
yes.
I wrote down.
Yes.
Okay. I was just clarifying because you were talking about private.
Yeah, we.
So $2,000 that Clark Lamb did, that's all on the Meadow Canyon, or is that private?
There's a bill there for it.
The $2,000 for Clark
it's
is
only
for
the DSRWA.
The DSRWA diversion.
Lightning roads, okay.
And diversion.
The diversion dam in Meadow Canyon.
Cat work. It doesn't. Okay, got it. Thank you. I'm just trying to get it right.
Brent, yes.
I'm a little confused. Surprisingly, when Dale was saying, Daniel and I met, I knew he was who he was talking about.
Oh.
I thought, and I researched it pretty carefully, before you put together a public water system, you have to have your plan submitted to state engineer, Department of Health, something like Department of Health, and the Division of Drinking Water. They specify what you can and can't use as materials and as much other things. So, isn't it jumping the gun buying pipe if you don't know if it's going to be approved or not? I don't know. Okay. I know Dale's up on it far better than I am. But all the reading I've done is that if this is going to end up being a public water system, which, depending upon the number of connections, it will be, is this pipe going to be approved? You know, for use. I don't know.
Right.
Okay. I'm assuming it will be.
Sure.
Anyway, I'm looking at this thing like we're putting the cart before the horse in many respects, because I think that these plans should be submitted, approvals should be given, all these things should come down the line, and when I first, I'm not opposed to developing this water at all. My first concern about it was there was no plan and there was no contract. I even stepped back from the plan and the contract. If a plan is submitted to the state, I'm fine with that. Because I can get that information from the state. I don't have to be given a plan. I even stepped back from the contract. I even went with some kind of agreement,
right.
Written agreement. And my concern is that once this project is started, it will be finished. I don't want it to be get halfway done and then have the meadow have these big open trenches in it and then just have, no, I'm through, I'm not going to do it. I want a commitment both ways. So are we putting the cart before the horse or whatever, or shouldn't we be getting all this other stuff together before we start?
Yeah, that's where I still think, there's a few things that we need to focus on. It's personal preference. One guy runs his business, somebody else does theirs. For most people, they say, hey, I'm not even going to invest $15,000 buy the pipe until I know that we can do it.
Well,
if Dale chooses to do that, I think that we have agreed to give him the latitude, to do that. If it's not approved and somehow he has to peddle that pipe to somebody to get his money back.
Yeah, I think by hiring on Ben is probably without, I don't know, I'm just speculating here, but hiring Ben is probably part of his process to start all this paperwork that has his legal counsel ready to go.
Who's Ben?
By hiring Danny, that's probably part of your process. You have to have to start all these things. You probably have your legal counsel now to step forward all this. I'm just speculating.
Well, yeah. All of this is, let's just stay.
It's outside the board.
Yeah, let's just stay.
Don't waste another hour.
Right. No, I don't want to.
But I don't want to give mixed signals that I appreciate at least knowing something so that we don't feel blindsided, we didn't even know that you bought pipe months ago. But at the same time, if Dale reports something, it's not time for us to, you know, micromanaging.
That's where my confusion lies, is that this is simply a reporting process.
Right.
It's not about, this is not the $15,000 bill that I'm going to end up having to pay part of.
Right now, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Not right now. No,
we are not financially obligated to any of that.
Okay, right. That's all they have to speculate here if they technical loan on the projects prior to that. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that we're not reimbursing any money until the project is done or when that time comes. So the bill for the pipe is irrelevant. Thank you for telling us you bought it.
Right.
But I would like to see the receipt for it so we can document what kind of pipe it was. Where and who it came from and all that, because we are going to be liable for this water system at one time or another. That's it. There's no money going back to him until this is done. He can buy the pipe all he wants now, but he ain't getting a dime until that pipe is used in the ground.
Have the invoice for everybody.
Okay. Well, if you could offer it to us, that would be thankful. End of story.
Yes, and I agree.
That's it.
And we're moving forward.
Thank you for telling us. Full disclosure. Thank you.
Okay, I have one more thing to say on that. What you said is, Ryan, from what I've heard, that no monies will be repaid to Dale until this project is done. We have not authorized that either. We have now that he has told us the $15,000 is made he used for the pipe. That's fine if he wants to spend that money. But so far we have no commitment, no agreement with Dale that we'll reimburse him for this at all.
True.
He has to get the thing finished.
And that's where Ryan said we're not going to pay him back until it's done. Right now, we have no obligation, or there's no commitment to pay him back anything.
The key sentence here, the key words here were until it's done. We have not made that commitment either.
I agree, and that's what I'm clarifying. I agree.
Okay.
Dale's proposal was that his reimbursement would be based on a fee of those who hook up. If DSROA chooses to hook up our cabins, then we're going to have to pay a fee. Other private lot owners that may hook up, that's where Dale's going to get, recover his costs.
Yes. And that's, I think that was clearly put in writing.
I think that was too.
Yes.
I think it was too.
No, it was not.
We
can move on from here.
There again, I'm going to go ahead and state this, that that's your opinion, and you're entitled to that opinion. Thank you.
No, Mark. You said that it has been put in writing previously. It has not. That's not an opinion.
Jody, you can read English, and I can forward them to you. You've been on the board long enough that several times of the agreement that I wrote a year ago January on this Meadow Canyon water, or the I think the one that Dale titled it was the Clarkson investment proposal that was voted by the board the previous year when you and Mike Duvall and Phil Hull were on the water committee. All of them have a sentence clearly stating all financial responsibility will be borne by Clarkson investment.
That's correct.
Hey,
I wrote a letter within the last 2 weeks.
Right, and let me see if that's for our audiences right here. Just in case, and correct me, Ben and Dale, if I'm wrong here. What he stated for those guys who are sitting here in the building today and listening, that he stated that he's going to proceed and go through with the pavilion and the water system until on the water system, like Ben is stating here, we will then know who hooks up on the systems and how much Clark's investment will recuperate on that or reclaim on that. And he also stated a sentence in both of those statements that until such time that Clarkson Investments decides to donate the rest of the system or the rest of the pavilion or whatever to the ranch. And the key word I think on there was donate. Was I not right on that? So, yeah, Ben and Dale shaking his head too. Yeah, so there's no 100% firm number, Jody, that I'm just throwing a number out there. If he throws in $100,000, I'll put it in a water system, and only five people connect on it, and one of them's the ranch, he's still out $50,000. There's no guarantee that there's no words that we're going to have to pay that back. The big thing was is at some point in Clarkson Investments' future that they will be donating that system for the balance. So,
yes, I understood what that letter meant, but you also understand what I wrote back to that.
Yeah.
So,
and
Jody, you can, like I said, you're entitled to your one vote out of the seven, and we appreciate that. Okay. What?
Should the letter be a record? Should it be published?
What letter?
That you wrote for the board.
The latest one.
Here.
Just so the members know. Should it be published for that?
What?
Me. Okay.
Then I need a copy.
Okay. Can you do that? Yeah. Edit.
As far as I understand from the last correspondence, is that the pavilion will still be staked out for the membership to go look at, and the membership is involved in that.
Let's go to the pavilion separately.
Yeah, it's later in the
okay.
Because that's where I have, you know, just to try to keep us, and we all get confused either overly positive and overly negative, and, you know, some of these expenses we're worried about that Dale is just reporting and not asking for any reimbursement, or some of these others that, you know, he is asking for reimbursement, and I'm not sure that either I missed something or it was never authorized to begin with, and I personally am still bound by my oath that my vote will never reimburse anybody for anything, whether it's the bill or the anything else, the come back and, hey, I did a great thing for the ranch, reimburse me. My vote is still no. If it was an important thing, then it needed to have been had approval beforehand.
All right. So to clarify, Bill stated in here that he has about $15,000 worth of pipe, and he is moving forward with the water, with meeting with the state engineers, and he has obtained legal counsel to help start his process. That pretty much is what I.
No, you. Tell me.
Oh, okay.
You guys add
okay.
Words.
Sorry. Strike that.
No mind.
Strike that.
Daniel.
Yeah,
that's where. No, Daniel is a retired teacher.
Yep.
Mary's the attorney. Oh, that's where you're.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I'm confused.
You're assuming that.
Sorry. Black as well. Okay.
Okay, so back to which agenda? Which issue are we on?
Number 10.
Do we have other?
Linda,
I just sent
you
a letter.
Thank you. I'd like that information on the pipe that you suggested.
It should be on his invoice. The invoice of the pipe you have?
Just the information to put on file so we know the pipe, the type of pipe and that sort of thing when the time comes that we do use the system. Usually readily available now.
And to add to that, on number 9A, the $29,000 loan, Linda, could you reword that? The $29,000 something other, we do not want to have loan in our documentation, because this was never a loan, so can we rephrase that as $29,000 request from Dale for reimbursements instead of the loan word, please?
Michelle, thank you.
You're the boss. Are you want to handle this now, or I don't care.
Well, but Dale, is there anything else with the water part of the system of your stuff you have for us today that you want to include right now on that?
I don't know of anything else.
Okay. Anything else on just on the water management from the open forum before we move to the next activity? Or next is item. All right, moving forward then on the agenda to item number 10, which we're going to excuse Shauna. She has some family in the hospital right now. So moving in that, Davey, we're going to jump to the next item. For the let me rephrase that. Unless anybody else has anything on ranch activities they need to know about right now or would like to publicly put out there before we move on? All right, then we're going to move on to facilities, cabin maintenance. Dave Turley, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. You got the agenda in front of you, or do I need to stay with us here first?
I've got it in front of me. Vance sent it to me. I had an old version.
Larry, were you able to get pictures of the stakes for the proposed site for the pavilion?
No, I haven't been up there because.
All right, we're still working on that then, it sounds like.
It's too much.
Did Chris say that the vehicles had been moved that were there to the north of the ranch house?
Yeah, majority of them, yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple still being used or available for quick use, but I don't see why they can't be moved too. But
well, it just snowed him in.
Yeah, he got snowed in before he got them all moved.
All right. And then the last one is the box springs. Did that get switched out, Chris? Is Chris still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, we got Bob Barrett donated a box spring and mattress.
Okay, beautiful. That's all I had.
Thank you, Bob, for that donation. We appreciate that. So is that all?
Oh, Dave, don't forget you finished the roofing on cabin 3 now, so that's completed?
It is. I need to switch out one piece of valley metal that I was short. It has a... the wrong color piece in there. So if you see it from the satellite picture, it's I'm aware of the fact that it's not the same color. And then I need to get the drip edge on as soon as the snow clears, and then it's done. It's shedding water. So
excellent. Thank you.
Yep, you bet.
With that in line, do we know what we're doing for any future? We know Chris is going to be working on some painting this year for cabin maintenance. We know that he's going to be doing some different winterization on different cabins this year. Is there any roofing things that we have planned for this year?
Cabin 4.
Is that this year?
I think, yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Cool. And then where will that put us with all our roofs? How many have we done?
I think they're, I'm not sure. Chris, are they all done except for 4? They all metal?
Please
tell.
Down below, not. Are they?
Is the lower end half metal?
I think they're all metal. No, I think the upper 6 and.
6 to 10?
Yeah, I think they're all metal.
Well, that's going to be nice. We can. After this next one, that should help relieve a little bit of stress off the budget for future. And thus, to put some money into different areas. That's good. I'm glad. Anything else you'd like to add in on that, Dave? Yes, no?
Nope, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, anything else from the public?
No, go ahead. Can I ask Dave a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Dave, this is Joe Bose.
Hello, Joe.
Did you get a chance to look at Sonny's cabin for an estimate for him?
No, it's still on my list. I will do it the next time I'm there, though.
Also, he said he wanted an estimate also for the same kind of roof, which is that wood shake. So he wants one for wood shake and I guess one for metal.
I can certainly do that.
Thank you.
Yep.
I could comment under this facility and cabin maintenance. After we do get, if we get each cabin painted and redone, I would like to take the website.
Okay.
The photos in the website will be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mike, I wonder, asking Dave whether during the next 90 days of questionable weather, whether things in the cabin, for mica, whether it's floor tile, whether it's different things, should be scheduled and done according to this list of cabin improvements. Did you hear me on that, Dave?
I heard what you said. What do I need to... is there a question here?
Here's one.
Are there projects that you have planned on your list of improvements that are indoors that can be done the next 90 days, but Chris needs to be pushing forward on?
I was not aware of any. Are there, Chris? Is there a list?
Well, the only major list I got going on is putting tile underneath all the fridges. Tile's going underneath all the fridges because and I'm talking about all the tile, shops are going through all the stuff. Anyway, where the pilot light has been burning that for microphone or whatever. So, switch that out. And then we just need to do an assessment on relaminating the countertops some of them are damaged. That's quick and easy thing. I can do that on myself.
I thought that we did have a list of actually changing linoleum or floor covering on some of the cabins. Two has irritated us for 30 years. And so some of those floors should be redone.
When we visited the cabin, you made the list when we visited the cabin.
Yeah, we posted that. There was a detailed list that we all did at the board.
Let's just get board. We didn't need to get it to Chris.
We did after the annual meeting.
Yeah.
It was not here, but we just had the entire board did an inspection.
Do you remember that, Chris?
Come on. That was BC before Chris.
Do you think BC before Chris? Can you dig that out?
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah. She'll.
Because it wasn't an email, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an email. Forward. You know, see if you got that. Maybe you can just forward it to Chris up there. That'd be awesome, right? Anything else from anybody before we move off that item? All right, moving forward then. Legal and public safety is the next item on the agenda, Jody.
Okay, the first thing is the action item. Linda, would you please strike that from this document that is not ranch business?
Okay.
And then we'll move on. To report on the collections and litigation, we had Ed Robbins was going to St. George last Friday to work on, I won't use names here, to work on one of the foreclosures and bankruptcies that we have going on. I guess we'll carry that discussion into executive as it does involve dollar amount, numbers, and names. But it, I think, went pretty well. Ben's going to have to help with the numbers on that. I've got a draft here of what was done during the hearing, and it's still being worked on. And so we'll discuss that in executive. And on the, I think it's time, too, to, we talked about it last meeting. Ed represented us well at this hearing, so I think we need to make the motion to hire or retain Ed Robbins as our attorney for DSROA for the purpose of handling our legals and being the benefit of him being close in town and to eliminate conflicts of interest and things like that that have come up in the past. So I would like to make the motion that we do work with Ed Robbins, retain him as our attorney at this point on.
Anybody else want to second that motion?
Ed's done an excellent job. I got the bill, and even like going to St. George to that hearing, you know, he charged us 2 hours.
Right.
And so he coordinated it with his other work down there and stuff, so... you know, his hourly rate is $150 an hour is less than what we have been paying an hourly rate for the attorney's time. He does a lot of stuff himself instead of, you know, before then there was some staff personnel charged a lower amount that did some, and Ed's kind of a one-man band. But as far as things handling this and other collections and getting a letter out, it has worked excellent. That's the other thing on the agenda. In the letter that I forwarded everybody, Ed came and made, you know, after the hearing and kind of made a report to me on that and coordinated through it. But he had asked for authorization, kind of the same thing, for you know, somebody that can sign. Some things will require a signature from the board, and in this case, he you know, reported back to the judge and said he'd have it. I said, well, we're meeting Friday and Saturday. If you could stall until Monday, he said, well, I can do that. But that's pushing a little bit. He said, some of these things, you know, they want a 24-hour, 48-hour turnaround time. We need to be able to do it. So Linda, even in working through this issue before, Linda had written some letters and signed them, because, and she was and signed and worked through the an affidavit. Where she keeps the books and the records to verify a document for the court, you know, her knowledge on it. But I think that's kind of the thing. So I would, you know, second that motion.
Okay, with that, well, there's a first and a second on that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? None noted. Any abstain? All right. No abstain.
I'd also like to make a motion that we do go ahead and approve Ben to handle those. I think, Ben, you said you would agree to do that, to handle the time, the matters that need to be handled quickly, like in within the 24-hour period, to sign off on those.
I would, but it's like the BLM thing before. You know, you kind of stated to go. You know, I'm not negotiating with the BLM. I'm just an authorized signature. So, you know, when it's roads and stuff, Mark is still over roads and needs to take the lead and stuff, and you're still, you know, doing safety, but in both of them, then I've worked some as far as a second idea or a voice on the board, and then but comes the time to, hey, we've got to sign this and get it off today, I'm willing to, you know, be available and sign, as long as, you know, the board's, you know, basically authorized it.
Was that a motion there, Jody?
Yeah, I'd like to make that motion that Ben and both Linda are authorized to sign on these when they come up, that we need to have them done right away.
Okay, and to add to that motion, as long as a quick broadcast on the emails have been sent out to the board members, and if there's any problems, if they don't see a reply, then there's obviously no problems, and then they go ahead forward with that and sign off. That way, at least the board does or did have the opportunity to hear before they signed.
Agree.
I would second that motion.
Do we need two signatures?
No. Do we say either or, because it's Ben available or out of town or Joe?
Well,
somebody's going to have to check with Linda anyways to verify everything is right. And correct on number.
If it's our decision signed by the organization, it should be somebody on a board member. The other thing that was specific to Linda is, as the office manager and the keeper of the books, the keeper of the accounting, that's why she signed on those things, that, you know, that would be on a as-needed basis. But I think that we have already, in hiring her as an employee, I'm not. She's already an employee, and we expect for her to sign whatever is true to her knowledge that she knows. So that's why Ed wanted her to sign this affidavit. So, I mean, on some of the legal things, I need to know, you know, if I'm signing all documents, because I don't want to, you know, somebody signs one, somebody else signs another one, pretty soon we start losing track and falling through the cracks, and I'm signing something that may be contradictory. So,
I think to answer your question, Dale, no, we need to have one authorization, one signature, and I agree it needs to come from a board member.
I agree, not against Linda, but I
know
a year or two ago that she sent a letter or something that the board objected to, and she doesn't need that kind of pressure.
Right. Ben will, I second that motion that Ben will be able to sign that stuff and make it in the timely manner that the legal counsel needs to make movement on these different things. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstains? That is unanimous.
We need a vote count on the previous motion.
The previous motion was?
For Ed Robbins, and we have to retain Ed Robbins.
Oh, we didn't.
We need a vote count.
We had
five in favor and no
vote.
Make it unanimous. You okay with that, Brian?
Your head's on.
Okay, thank you.
One more question. Ben, what was Ed's hourly rate? It bleeped out.
$150.
Lovely. Okay, thank you.
Sounds like a lot of money until you start to hire an attorney.
This day and age. All right. Anything else, Jody?
No, that was all I had until executive.
Okay. Anybody else, anything else from the general before we move off of this item?
No.
All right, then moving on then, next item on the agenda is radio communication reservations, Wes. Ryan.
What I'm going to be doing, since we have budgeted money for this category this year, I was going to be getting a couple of the handheld radios that most of you are familiar with and getting them to headquarters to use as loaner radios when we have guests come up and see how they work and see how that can move forward, more radios, and how the people are using them as loaner radios and see how they're handling them and if they're able to use them. If not, we can work with maybe a small little, this radio for dummies laminated sheet to go with them so they can use it. First, get a couple radios, start small, and then go from there until it works. So they feel more comfortable maybe at the upper cabins. If there's any problem, that's where we're starting now. We're going to do a little research on a smaller base radio for the headquarters. They have a little bit more power to get out.
Is there any sort of insurance kind of program with those? I mean, people can take those out on the four-wheeler,
yep.
Drop them, lose them, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. I'm sorry,
yeah,
I can't find it anymore.
They're going to have a deposit. You don't bring it back.
I mean, they can sign a hand receipt when they take it, but it's $100 radio. I mean, you're going to, I don't know.
Well, we can sign it out on the Nico's with the cabin login.
Whoever they sign the cabin out under will be financially responsible for the radio. They'll pay back on their next association bill.
The kind of thought here.
Radio, I mean, how much?
The kind of thought we have here based off this one is, you know, we got Jim from Timbuktu who's never been to the ranch and is a totally city slicker. And it's not going to make me feel totally comfortable in his first time staying in the ranch headquarters. Maybe he wants the way to communicate with Chris. And I have a stupid question for you. How do we do this?
Oh, I'm
But it's not to put in every one of the cabins.
No, this will be when they get their key, they get a radio.
Only a check-in.
If they rent the radio, we just start sending them bills. I mean, it's $100 radio. It is what it is. I mean, until we see how they're working and how people are using them, it's a gamble that's got to be taken. I mean, there's nothing but for sure in life.
Well,
if
do you have the GPS?
People don't want to do it. We won't do it. We'll put the money somewhere else.
It might be
just we did.
You know, we had bought a GPS, and the idea was that it would be rentable from the store for $5 or something. You know, or if there's some kind of small fee. So again, it would be enough that after 20 uses or something, and it's broken or something, we replace it.
I think Chris was asked to. I think Ryan had to come up with a sign-off sheet and a dummy thing. But I think whoever Chris or Kelly rents the radio out or loans it out is going to have to do a physical check. Oh, no, it was working. We tested it here before you signed off on it.
Yeah.
And what's the return?
We can hammer that. I mean, $5 or whatever, $10.
Now, would these be, are these different than what?
I'm going to do a little bit of research. I'm going to try to get more idiot-proof radios so you can't accidentally.
The ones we have right now are pretty good. If you
That's what I'm saying. The ones that we have now are
really too many buttons.
Too many buttons.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little more research.
For the $50. Bob, are you still online?
Yeah, I'm online.
I still got requests for more. I don't know how many more you have already bought of those, but I need probably 5 or 6 more. If you would ship them up, I'll get the money back to you. You did get all the other money I sent?
What money? I didn't get any money from you.
This retirement.
Okay, let me see how many I have. I know I got some left over, so let me find out how many. I'll get back to you on that, okay?
Yeah, I wouldn't order anymore, but if you have one sitting in a box that you kind of ordered for this, it is technology that will be obsolete if it sits around too long. So,
did Doug Hunt do that? Doug Hunt paid for a set of radios. I don't know if he ever got those.
Yeah, did Doug Hunt ever get his?
Yes, he did. He's got radios.
I have a question on this line. What about the rules of using that frequency? Are we going to be within the parameters of that by doing it this way?
As long as we don't see people abusing that, you know, because if
I've already covered this in a prior meeting. We'll take that up in the executive side.
Okay.
Yeah.
There should be an explanation or disclaimer.
We'll take it up
that.
On the executive side.
Okay.
And then, as I said, whatever that is, you can hand that out with the sheet and the radio.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think I've mentioned it before. Those radios will go all the way to the blacktop from Johnson Canyon Road.
You can actually get the repeater from that liquor store.
So they go just, pretty far.
Just past the liquor store, just past
Colorado City.
Really? Yeah, there's a gap in the valley. You sit right by that liquor store, and you have a good shot. You can get the repeater.
Question. Does everybody on the board now have a copy of the budget for 2013? Did you all get the email? They all have it?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. If anybody needs that, I can email it to you.
I would like to say I got it, but obviously it seems like I'm missing a couple of items, and I don't know why, but you could just resend it just to be safe, just online, please.
Okay. Does anybody else want me to resend?
Yeah, can you send one to Chris Kelly?
Okay.
Do you have my email, Jody, or?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Do you have my email?
Which one are you?
The S manager.
S manager.
Yeah, so I have your email.
You using the other one at all, or is that?
Yeah, Kelly used that one.
Okay, so they will come.
Yeah. All right, anything else? All right. Then moving on to the... next item on the agenda is the report on all action items assigned out for the last 3 months. The first item there is the assignments that have been made out for, but sometimes not, that's what's here, is not been completed. The research, the first item on there is says who will research and get approval for the on-site landfill. Chris has already stepped up and is working that over, so that's been already covered. The second item on here is the review of the insurance.
That should be done before we have to renew it. Haven't done it yet.
Okay, so Linda still needs to...
Do you have any idea when our annual renewal is? So we're coming up on... Okay, so we still need to do that. Okay.
Right.
There are other items that didn't make it onto this list, if I could just throw those out.
Okay, go ahead.
Get a report from the ranch manager. He said he's doing that. That's good.
Did we do this last night?
Well, that's 100%. That's a 200% increase, so we're going in the right direction.
And Dale is general manager. I constantly talk to Dale, and I contact Mark. And
he does talk to me quite frequently. But
yeah, whenever I'm in town, I usually try and stop by and see the board members.
Yeah. So.
Four Corners of the Pavilion being marked. I heard they were marked.
No.
He asked me to mark that. He called me 2 weeks ago and said the next time I was out, put some stakes in the general area.
That was on line 11 that we already covered.
Okay.
Dave, you mentioned that.
Okay.
Zero.
Yeah. The rest is just for executive meeting, so we'll move on.
Okay. Anything else from the general before we move on? We're going to move on. Item number 15 is other requested agenda discussion items. There was discussion A is a report on the Greenbelt FFA by Dale Clarkson.
I met with the assessor a couple of times, but I don't think that I don't want to take the lead in trying to do Greenbelt on a lot of the individual lots. I think it could be done. There are some that are not up there, but others here in the county are green melted. And I think if people want to work on it, I would like to see us challenge the entire taxation of your things. But that would take a major move.
Is that something that can be drafted for a vote on at a meeting where we have the majority of members reporting so that we can submit that paperwork to the taxation board for that and to make a move that way? Is that the proper way we need to move with this?
No, I think you need one individual to document it, put it together, discuss it, babysit it all the way through, and I don't know of anybody that will want to take that on, and I do think there is a possibility of reducing taxation up there.
What's the estimated value you think it would save the members? For the record, just for your estimated, what you think that this would mean to the ranch and its owners.
What we did before, we about cut it in half. I think the way it is now, it would be something like a 25% reduction. So instead of $180, maybe more like $120. And if you times that by 300, it's a fairly sizable item.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Dale, on that, is that something that, like, DSROA would do collectively, or is that something that DSROA would find out the information and then let each lot member proceed on their own as far as if they want to go that direction or not? I'm not quite sure understanding how this works.
I don't know exactly how you'd move. Before, I did it for the whole association.
And you mean the association owned lands at that time, not the individual properties. Is that what you mean?
No, he did it for all the properties.
Oh, okay.
Years ago.
Okay. Was it just...
We're at a point of deciding two things if we try to, the county took all the individual lots off of Greenbelt 10 years or 12 years ago, and our taxes went from $1 a lot to $100 a lot. Now, most of us are about $180 a lot. And so, it came to my mind in researching, Jody, our meetings where we've gone through the PCNRs, where it is clear that the association has and retains the right to graze each individual lot and run our cattle herd as a herd on the entire property, unless, if a lot owner wants, it's their responsibility to fence off their 20 acres. And in that case, they obviously wouldn't qualify. But that would be one thing, and the other is just to, protest the value. If we pull the closing documents on the last four or five lots that have sold, they're still not selling. What has sold is nowhere near what they're taxing us for. I think the Greenbelt issue is something that we would have to coordinate. The other may be something where we provide on the website and in the newsletter, the next newsletter, and encourage, everybody to fill out the form and protest it, and if they get a protest letter from 100 or so of the 300 lots, it definitely will make some difference.
I think there's two different categories. I have a document on a piece of property that someone else owns in that general area, and their tax on 20 acres was 56 cents. So there's
but it was because of on Greenbelt?
On Greenbelt.
Yeah.
And so there's different. Dropping it from 180 down to 125 is strictly a countywide tax evaluation based on sales. Now, I've had people call me this last week. They said, gee, I got a questionnaire from the state asking what price I paid for a particular lot.
most people write down, well, it was 25,000 or 35,000. That is not true, because a percentage of that price was for personal property and membership and had nothing to do with the land. And unless the people say, okay, the land was this much and the personal property was this much, I paid 35,000. And that initially we proved that the membership was worth about half of a purchase price. So if people paid, and they did initially, $8,000 for a 20-acre lot and 2 weeks of the cabins, we said $4,000 of that was for land, and $4,000 was for the association membership. And the state at that time wanted to charge us $8,000 for the land. That's not true. And so today, what is the breakdown between a $30,000 sale? How much of that is for the personal property, and how much of it is for the land? And if that questionnaire was filled out in that way, the state keeps a record of these items, and then when you go into protest or to call them on it, they say, well, yeah, we have 20 returns here from people on sales, and this is what they reported. And so there's a system that we would go through to try and get our taxes reduced for just in general. Then if we go on Greenbelt, that's a whole different thing.
Well, I think one... Yes.
Do you know when the last time they reappraised that area?
I don't.
They're doing it right now.
I think there is up on rotation here about this time.
It's very, my experience is very difficult to be rebuilt. You've got to show agricultural use. I'm wondering if those lots are even accessible by the Cadillac more. I don't see them on my property anymore.
Well, a lot of them are. I'm going through that right now on other property, and you're right. There are some that you could look at that 20 acres and say, there's not enough feed here to sustain a cow whatsoever. There's other ones, you know, I know that my 40 acres and the ponds over in Crawford, you know, I've got my two lots and the association has their two lots in that meadow, and there's a herd of 20 or 30 that sit there for 2-3 months in the winter, you know, summer and hammer the place.
Well, if your property includes the others being grazed,
right,
whether it's a lot, whether it's private, then it would be very possible that it would qualify.
Right.
However, people need to be aware of blowback provisions and that type
well,
of
thing. Well,
because there's a downside.
Right. But I think that that's something to ask the members and say, do you know, almost, you know, do you want to opt in or opt out? And we apply for that. I do think it would be helpful.
You have to apply individually.
What's that?
You have to apply individually.
Yeah.
You have to have, it's a lot tighter than
it used. It is.
You have to have no right documents and the whole thing. You got to have a letter from the first
user. The last thing.
Right. You're saying if it's fenced off, it doesn't qualify.
It wouldn't qualify if you had it fenced off. Unless you had an area, again, like, you know, lot two that's fenced together with lot one and an area where you are legitimately at time for running a beef steer, I think some of those, you know, could qualify, but you'd need to make a separate application than I would need on my lot. And so there's a select few that could qualify, but like I said, then when you sell it, there's a 5-year rollback to pay all of that. And so you have to say, if you're going to hold it long term, it's worth it. If you think you may sell it, then it may not be.
Even for one lot, it's really not practical for somebody to do it on one lot. The red tape and paperwork is too laborious. If somebody took and did it on, you know, an individual for 150 lots,
well,
that makes sense.
The question I had is, Linda, you paid the tax and we checked it in Greenbelt, and all this 2,000 acre associated rent is on Greenbelt except for... We pulled out some for the cabin area, but the four individual lots that the association owns, they are on Greenbelt.
Everything that Deer Springs Association owns, with the exception of, very, very, very much. There was a 600-acre chunk that was missed or omitted. You know, it's 248 feet. I got it. Go back on email 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, so the green belt is a little bit more of a challenge. On the regular lots, though, I'm wondering, you know, would you agree to help write a letter? Because Linda does know every lot that sells, once they sell, you know, at least after the fact. And as soon as you know to send, you know, she kind of sends up maybe a welcome packet and explains things and gets their address. At that time in that packet, if there was a bright orange piece of paper that said, important, you're going to get a letter in the mail from the tax assessor, you know, clarify that, you know, you can throw it in the trash and, you know, you do not legally have to fill it out like they make you, you know, they insinuate and make you feel like it. You have to. But if you fill it out, please help all of us by explaining and reporting whatever you paid for it, reporting half as your sales price. The other half you can indicate in the other area as private property or the membership. Because that's what every month or, you know, every year if there's 10 lot sale, if everybody did fill that out the correct way, it would help us. But the only way to have that is for it to go out from Linda in a welcome packet letter explaining that.
You'll get two documents, one from the county and one from the state. Orange from the county and white from the state. Since they're questionnaires, they ask about the same question. So that's what you like. You know, if you document on that, well, everyone does the same thing. The value is actually less than
right. So we educated by new members and buyers and said you're going to get a white document and a pink document. Just a little history, this is what it means. We have continually claimed and interpreted that as about 50-50, so whatever you paid for your lot, please fill out half that amount for the private property as far as what you're going to pay tax and will affect all of us and what we pay in property tax. Because, you know, we're already paying in part of our association dues property tax on the 2,000 acres, and if you don't do it, then essentially we're paying it twice.
I have a problem with the seller with the same kind of documents, and the seller will fill it out with their sale price.
I've never got one at the seller. I'm getting them.
You might, you have?
I'm getting both kinds.
Really?
I have.
One of the questions that the auditor asked is, how do you make this division? Is it just an arbitrary division that 50% of it or 40% of it? And this could be documented by the members to help identify where that division line is. And then this would be strong evidence for the state and the county and state to respect that input rather than just saying, well, did you pull that number out here or what?
Can we put a number to that? Can we put a 50%?
That's what we do.
That's what Dale claimed last time, but we've always kind of generally talked about.
And it's somewhat individual. Public record, though. I mean, can we make that a statement within our organization that it is firm at 50%?
Again, how many in the room have even thought about a division or
right.
numbers? And most of the membership have never. Thought about numbers, but it does affect our taxation.
I can see that.
50% works for San Jose's lot where they have a dwelling on it.
For the land, and then they will in your tax on their taxes. It says how much is the lot worth and how much is the structure. Whatever their structure is going to be based on the square footage, and they'll add that on it. But on the land, they should. Yeah, it should be.
No,
right.
Well, and if you have a structure on your lot, is it ineligible? If you take pictures of where the cows have walked through your yard?
No, you can. I mean, there's no other property. Usually they take out 1 acre for the home.
You got Greenbelt.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
I am asking about Greenbelt because I've got cows on my lot all the time, but we have a structure on it, and I thought we weren't eligible because of that structure.
There's a lot of places, just like the ranch house, the cabins where they take out 1 acre for the home, and then the rest of it is greenbelt.
Okay.
It's a hard claim with only 20 acres, but
yeah.
Over how much? One of the criteria is that to meet greenbelt, your property is supposed to produce income from harvest. It's not just a matter of a cow walk on an acre.
Oh.
If you received
lease payment for grazing if you received income, it's an income producing agricultural activity.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Where Deer Springs Ranch received grazing income and we're all part of the association, you could as an association member, I am receiving income, but it's still, you know, unless you've got enough rock to really make it worth it, I think what Niall and Dale both are saying is, it's, to me, it's not worth me trying to get Greenbelt on one lot.
It's not only that. They actually ask for copies of tax returns or on the tax return if you show your revenue for agricultural use, especially if you're not involved in agriculture. So,
unless it's personal use. That's one where, like, Cram, that have been there and they use it for their own beef steer, right. You don't have to show any income. You can say, look, I have photographs, I put my own animals on it, and I kill it and I eat it, so therefore there's no income or tax value. You could qualify, I think, on their lot, together with lot one.
For Greenbelt.
So. Okay.
What is really on Greenbelt?
Right. So I think the thing is, back to, will you help outline something that would be, you know, some of that history that we could write up and have Linda, you know, start sending everybody? And then this year, either whether it's a reassessment or in the newsletter, try to explain to everybody, if these rates, if we can compare with some neighboring properties around Deer Spring, and we think Deer Spring lots are more valuable, and we pay more on them than 20 acres out in that neck of the Kane County. But it's because of the association and our membership, which we're paying dues to maintain, and we're paying tax on it. So when it comes just to the 20 acres, it should be relatively comparable to those type of properties. And I know that right now we're far above that. I think right now, if everybody did fill out their protest letter and send it with the closing statement on three or four of these recent closings, it will change the whole thing.
Well, and if the board will make a decision so it has some legitimacy, this is something that would be very worthwhile to have in the newsletter instead of some stuff putting in.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. Can we put on that letter,
Dale?
Can we put on that newsletter or that paper we're putting in there supporting documents of the last final few sales, like Ben's saying?
Right. No, I think we need to put in the newsletter and say, your spring's being reassessed. You know, please, if you'll take the time, fill out your protest letter, send it in. On the website, download some of the supporting documents and some of them that we have, you know, control of, there's lots that we're selling for $50,000-$60,000. There's several that have sold in the last 12 months for, not even a quarter of that, you know, or whatever. Now is the time that we could, and the time that, again, the lot value to the membership value may change in 10 years. Right now, where we still haven't developed a whole lot, it's not a lot more than it was 10 years ago. I think it's an easy case to still claim in about 50-50 value.
Or else I'll send it back in.
What's that?
Or just don't send it back in.
Well, we're talking two different.
I know, if you don't feel good about it, just don't send it back in.
Right. That's on the letter that Linda would give to all new members.
Yeah.
I'm talking, everybody will get your notice for what your tax is going to be in about August.
Right.
So that's what it will fill that in, out and send in saying, I'm protesting this, and then you have to check a box whether you request a hearing or not. A lot of people from out of town may say not request a hearing. If some of those in town request a hearing, I'm happy to talk to Linda and say, do you want to have kind of one hearing and hear the case from a couple board members, or do you want us to tell all 300 members to each individually request a hearing and you work through that for the next?
By that he means Linda Little, not
Linda Little, right. Sorry.
You like the gridlock. The tax assessor came by this summer and talked, and he asked me questions. Well, one question he asked me, did I have a vent fan, exhaust fan, over my stove? And I said, no, I need to put the check mark on it. Off he went. I don't know what that was all about.
Less taxes.
For a dishwasher.
And if I had a dishwasher.
Did you say yes and she's not loaded right now?
That kind of surprised me. Can Brent qualify for a green belt with all the squirrels he feeds and the pine nuts they're eating?
If he skins them.
I'm thinking about I've got too many thoughts right now. I'm overloaded.
All right. That finishes up. Then I guess that's anything else on that item number 15? All right. Is there anything else that anybody would like to bring before the board at this meeting? All right. Next
yes.
Question.
Yes. Not to take up board time with it, but while everybody is there, I'd like to throw out three dates and times for the next PCNR meeting. And then everybody take it home, look at it, and re-verify if they can or can what dates, and then email back to me, and I can set up the meeting. The first date would be Saturday the 16th at 8 a.m. Second date would be Tuesday the 19th at 7 p.m.
Jody, what month are you working on? Is this February 16th?
Yes. And then the next date would be February the 20th, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. So those are just some suggestions on dates to start us out. Let's find out which one will work for all of us. And then we'll all send these out via email as well, and then just respond, and we'll get the date narrowed down.
And that was the 16th and the 20th. What was the Tuesday?
19th. I will have the PCNRs, what we've gone through so far. That'll be finished by tomorrow. So you'll expect to get that in your email as well, Sunday or Monday. So that'll give you plenty of time to review before we move on to the next stage.
And this is a teleconference?
Yes.
There'll be no teleconference
this Tuesday. Right. Yeah, Tuesday the 12th. That's how I proposed it would be. A week from today would be the 16th, or the following Tuesday, the 19th, or the following Wednesday, the 20th. So anybody have a strong feeling on which of those is a weeknight at 7 better than a Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday, there's enough.
Yeah.
And yes, you don't like Saturday either.
Me? Yeah. I hate Saturday.
All right, so there's the three. Those days?
No, I don't like
Saturday. I hate 8 o'clock.
Okay, Jody, everybody. 16th
out.
16th out, Jody. Scratch out.
Okay, got it. All right.
Check the calendar on the other two.
Yeah, okay. Tuesday works better than Wednesday for me.
Me too.
Yeah,
good for me too.
Okay, yeah, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I'm playing Scoutmaster, so.
Sounds like the 19th is the day, eh?
19th is the
day. Yeah, how are you looking on Tuesday? You're probably the only one that didn't hit up yet. Bill? Is Tuesday looking good? Joey, you know what? Everybody from those days, Bob, everybody here, everybody in this room said Tuesday the 19th looks better.
Okay, noted.
So I wouldn't even, at that point, I don't even think it's, I don't think you need to put out on an option. I think you just go ahead and put out for whoever's not here or has been participating thus far or wishes to participate. I think go ahead and just put that out there. The next meeting is the 19th.
All right. Will do.
All right. Okay, our next meeting is, without anything else further, our next meeting is dated for March 9th, 2012, right here at the basement, again. I go at 8 a.m. I make a motion we go ahead and adjourn.
I'd like to get some of the others. Here, let me just make this comment.
Okay,
Linda, I do think in fairness to the board member, you know, I want to have open meetings and involve everybody, but board members do, I think, need to take presence. So if we're going to move from a call-in teleconference to Skype, board members like Dave need to know that before the meeting, and so that he's not trying to, you know, even as late as midnight, if he was planning to drive down and has a sick kid and decides, okay, I'm just going to call in, and then he is trying to, you know, get on beforehand. So we just need to look that out, and where we keep sometimes, depending on location, flopping from a teleconference to a Skype situation, do that. And I still never Skyped in. So even like the Jody on the PCNR meeting, do we want that to be a phone call, or do we want to set up and do a Skype conference? Just curious. And then the next meeting, do we want to be here and you know, Ryan and Mark, everybody who's traveling from out of town in February, if we're still in winter weather, do we want to, you know, meet, or is a Skype or a teleconference as effective on some of those? I mean, I do, you know, there's sometimes that we need to get together, but again, we get together and we've got three of the seven board members that aren't here. It still makes it.
That costs nothing. That's where we decided to do that. But you are absolutely right. Where a phone conference, it does cost the person that's calling to do that. So anybody can phone in. And I will accept anybody that wants to Skype. In fact, that's what Dave and I had to do there so he could be on that.
So no, I mean, all of us have access to a computer, I think, as
but
much
you have
as
to have, you know, have
but not in the
computer
car.
That has speakers on it, right?
There's an app for Skype on the phone.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I
all figured for me.
So that's how it works.
You know, the last PCNR meeting, I just got my phone bill, and it was, you know, $60 for me to be on that 341-minute call because I didn't call my cell phone, so that it was a little more, you know, better on the landline. And
can I speak up on the Skype thing for a sec?
Yeah,
this is Vance. I have a note here to email all you guys and other people who tend to participate and ask them if they have Skype, and if not, can you get it and learn how to run it? I'd like to see us move that way if we can because of, you know, just what you said, the $60 phone bill and our really awful experience with the teleconference last time with the buzzing, you know.
Yeah.
We have some issues with Skype, but not nearly as many as we do with the phone, so... My thinking was I was going to email all the board and people who have been calling in and ask them if that's available to them, would that be an option? Start gauging, you know, participation. I have some directions, some Skype-specific directions on the website, and I can start disseminating those via the forum group and things like that and making sure people find them. But that would be my choice if we can do it.
Hi, newsletter.
Okay, I can definitely learn how to do it. I'm here, so I never needed to.
Well, I guess I would have to have a speakers on my computer at the office now, I guess. Well, the speakers don't work for some reason. So
okay, we can work through that and see if, Jody, we can set up the February 19th meeting by Skype instead of a telephone.
Okay.
Should be a way to do. Vance, is there a way to do both? To on a phone line call into a Skype conference?
The problem with the teleconference is it has to, at some point, it has to go through a regular landline. Yes, you can make Skype calls to a landline, but then you're back paying for it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If we go Skype to Skype, computer to computer, the cost is zero. If you go Skype back to landline, you're back to paying, I think it was 2.3 cents a minute again.
But is that on the Skype end of it or on the phone line end of it?
If you use Skype to dial the teleconference number, that 1702 number, then you're paying for a long distance call again. You're just paying Skype instead of whoever, Verizon or whatever.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I paid 10 cents a minute for the last conference call, so 2.5 cents a minute isn't out.
Well, I can point you guys to some places on the Skype site where they explain how that all works, and you can look at them. I'll make that part of my query about who can do it and who can't.
Okay, so that is kind of back to the thing is feelings on the March meeting, whether it's live here or the conference.
I think it'll just be live.
Okay.
Any other board members live?
I think live. It's my vote. I guess nobody else is answering that question.
Here's the law. It's
live. Okay, it's here live.
I don't, I'm not understanding what that question was.
No.
We're just talking about the March 9th meeting, whether to have it live or conference. And Mark has voiced that he'd like to go ahead and have it live.
You mean via Skype?
Oh, here.
No, here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes, no, live.
Huh?
In March.
In March.
With Skype?
No.
Well, yeah, you with Skype.
Whoever doesn't want to show up can Skype.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn by Mark.
Anybody second the motion?
I second it.
Ben seconded it. Anybody opposed?
Our motion is to adjourn going to executive session.
Yes. Anybody opposed? Unanimous. All right, thank you, everybody.